Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you, everyone, for joining this earnings call for Q2 of FY20. We have circulated a deck with the results and a lot more information on each of our businesses. It's a fairly long deck, so what I'll do is, over the next 40-45 minutes, go through the main points and then give you a chance to ask us questions. I'm joined here by my senior team, who will join me in answering any questions that you may have at the end of the presentation. I'd like to start on slide three, and slide three is fairly topical given all the discussion that's going on about economic growth and the slowing economic growth in India. So what we've done is actually mapped out both the movement of GDP as well as the movement of our aggregate profit before tax under IGAAP over the last 10 years to see how the numbers stack up. I think what it shows is basically the diversified portfolio that we built under Aditya Birla Capital has delivered returns across economic cycles. So if you look at this slide, in FY9, we were losing about 650 crores. That's moved to a profit of about 1,900 crores in FY19, a movement of about 2,500 crores. In the last 5 years alone, our CAGR has been about 21%, and as we've added new businesses that have then matured, the two-year CAGR of PBT is 29%. So I think this slide gives you a good snapshot of where we've come from in the last 10 years. Moving on to slide four, I thought we could do a couple of things with this slide. One, if you look back, you get a good sense in terms of each of the businesses that we have in our portfolio, how we've done over the last 5 years, and also give you a sense of where we're heading over the next 3 years in terms of our aspiration and in terms of our business goals. So if I start at the top left and start with our protecting pillar, which includes our life and health insurance business, if you look at the top left, you'll see our total gross premium has grown from about 4,800 crores back in FY14 to about 8,000 crores at the end of FY19. If you look at our gross VNB margin in our life business, it was about 16.2% back in FY14. It's now about 36.3%. If you look at our 13-month persistency, it was about 60% back in FY14. It's now up to 80%. If you look at our EV, we actually had a slight decrease in EV in FY14 because we had a buyback of shares that year. Otherwise, EV was broadly flat. Compared to that, we have a 14.4% growth in EV of half-year 2020 over half-year of 2019. And health insurance, which never existed in FY14, has grown very strongly, and our combined ratio in the first half of FY20 is 155% en route and in line with the direction we've been sharing with the market. If I look forward and talk about a three-year aspiration for our life and health insurance business, in the life business, we're looking at increasing the share of protection in the overall mix roughly to between 10%-12%, and we think that and a combination of volume and mix change will lead to an LI net VNB of between 18%-20% in 3 years. That's the number we are targeting in a three-year time frame. Health insurance, we've already shared before. We expect to break even in 2021-22, and we expect GWP to be roughly in the range of 1,700-2,000 crores in that time frame. Moving on to the second bucket of our portfolio, which is our investing bucket, we're really going to talk about our mutual fund here. Our mutual fund domestic AUM was about 82,000 crores in FY14. It's now risen to about 253,000 crores at the first half of FY20. Our equity market share was about 5.8% at that time. It's now up to 8.5%. We had about 13% of our total AUM in equity. It's now up to 36%. We used to do about 96 crores per month in SIP. Now it's up to about 970 crores. And our profit before tax was about 17 basis points then. It's now up to 28 basis points. Looking forward, our asset management business will look to increase its share of both retail and equity as we go forward, get to about 40% equity mix in our total mix. And I think the combination of that and the retailization of the portfolio should give us a PAT growth of about 15%-20% in the three-year period. Moving on to our financing bucket, which includes our NBFC and our housing finance company. As you can see, the lending book has actually increased quite smartly from about 11,700 crores back then to about 60,500 crores now. NIM has expanded from about 5.1 to 5.3%. Our GNPA has remained virtually steady because the 1.85 includes some amount for ILFS. Net of ILFS, our GNPA would be about 1.39%. So really quite flat over the five-year period. Housing finance company never existed in FY14, and that has a ROE of 10.2% for the half year of FY20. Our lending network, which is about 1,700 crores in FY14, has risen to over 9,000 crores in FY20. So as you can see across the board, fairly strong performance in our lending businesses as well. Going forward, our aspiration in the lending business clearly is to continue to focus on retail growth, something we've been calling out and we've been showing you every quarter. That should lead to an NBFC ROE of between 17 to 18% and an HFC ROE of between 14 to 15% in the three-year time frame that we're setting out on this slide. I also wanted to call out some of our other businesses because we do have other businesses we don't always talk about at these calls, and they do different things for us, and I want to talk about two businesses specifically. If you look at our general insurance broking business, that's been a business that's gone increasingly retail over the five-year period that is covered on this slide. We used to have about 0.3 million customers back in FY14. We now have close to 4 million customers through our retail trust in this business. In a fairly fractured and disparate market, our market share has actually doubled in this period from about 1.1% to 2.2%. Our ROE in this business would be, this business is a high ROE generating business. It generated about 34% ROE in the half year of FY20. If you look at our stockbroking business, we were losing money back in FY14. That business has turned around and now generates close to a 47% ROE for us. So these other businesses that I'm talking about on this slide are really businesses that we help with, that we think will both contribute customers to the overall ABC umbrella as well as contribute to ROE. I want to move on to slide 5 now and talk about the recent environment and all the challenges that everybody has been talking about in the business world, and talk about 6 things that we have done to be able to deal with the environment that we are operating in. Starting with the top left, we started out by making sure that we could secure long-term growth capital at Aditya Birla Capital level. We raised 2,100 crores of equity capital through a preferential allotment to both marquee investors as well as the promoter group. This was at a price of 100 rupees per share, a premium over the traded price. In a market where the risk has clearly become much more apparent, we have done much greater diligence in underwriting, with approval rates coming down by about 10 to 15% across our lending businesses. We have consciously reduced ticket sizes across the board, and I'll share some of that data with you in a bit. And we continue to focus on quality over growth, because we realize that this is a time where we have to be much more watchful. In an environment where liquidity is at a premium, we have actually raised long-term borrowing of 8,000 crores in our lending business. We have optimized our ALM in our lending businesses, and I will share with you what our ALM profile looks like in both our NBFC and HFC. And we further diversified our borrowing profile with opening up the ECB window for both our NBFC and our HFC. We've also looked to optimize our portfolio by aligning other businesses. And if you look at our PBT from other businesses in the last half year, we actually lost 2 crores from our other businesses. This half year, that's turned to a profit of 39 crores. So a very significant move in terms of aligning our other businesses to generate profit for us. The equity fundraise will also help us reduce interest costs at Aditya Birla Capital level. And we expect that to be about 100 crore reduction over the course of the year. Focus on quality has been something that we've always stood for. Our stage 3 book for our NBFC ex ILFS stands at about 1.39%, and in our housing finance company at 0.85%. In our life business, persistency has been a big focus area for us, and our 13-month persistency has now touched 80% compared to 74% for the half year in FY19. In our health insurance business, our retail claim ratio at 44% this half year is lower than the 48% that we had in the half year in the prior year. I want to spend a little time talking about technology, something we haven't spoken about before. But there are really 3 things we're trying to drive through technology. The first, to improve customer, distributor, and employee experience. We think this is a big thing that technology can help us deliver. We also think technology can help us find ways of growing revenue. And third, we think technology can help us build a more robust, scalable business model. So if you look at slide 6, we've broken some of our technology initiatives into these 3 buckets, into initiatives that are going to deliver better experience for us, initiatives that will drive greater revenue, and initiatives that will drive an improved operating model. I'm not going to talk about all of these. That's the good news. I'm just going to talk about four or five points on this slide that I want to specifically highlight. Let me first talk about the 1ABC login IDs that I've spoken about. So while we have several businesses housed under different legal entities, to our customer, our view has always been we want to go with one face. So on our website, we today have over 1 million people who have availed themselves of our 1ABC ID, which enables them to log in at the ABC level and see all their product holdings at one place. So be it a life insurance policy or mutual fund or a loan account, our customers get to see them and get further services on a single screen. They also get to see our analytics-driven next best offer, suggesting three purchase options that they have to fulfill other financial needs that they may have. We follow the same approach in our call center as well, where we have one common toll-free number across all our product lines. Also, our customers holding multiple products with different businesses get serviced at one place in our call center instead of having to call up different businesses separately. I want to then talk about our office-in-a-box approach for our distributor and partners. As you know, a large part of our business comes from our distributors and partners, and we continue to evolve robust technology platforms to facilitate their smooth functioning. Our office-in-a-box concept for our distributors provides them several tools and utilities to help them in customer profiling, needs analysis, leads management, customer onboarding, and servicing, with a 360-degree view of all their sourcing at one place. To help them manage their business with us in the most optimum way, our distributors get onboarded digitally, have direct access to our advanced training documents, and their performance and reward management dashboards are also available here. The third thing I'd like to call out in terms of our better experience is in terms of our digital loan origination system. In our lending business, we are developing an integrated digital platform to onboard customers seamlessly across a number of our product lines like personal loans, business loans, and LAP by the end of Q4. This platform will be OCR, video, BPM, and machine learning enabled, and will help capture new loan applications by a distributor at the point of origination, profile the customer and associated risk digitally, and underwrite loans much faster with better credit risk management. Moving on to the revenue bucket, I want to talk about analytics and what we've done in analytics over here, because a few years back, we invested in an enterprise-level data warehouse and analytics capability, which is helping us reap rich dividends. At ABC, we have this unique ability to offer solutions to our customers through their life cycle from cradle to grave. We use machine learning techniques to help customer build life cycle models which help us profile our customers and offer them suitable products and services to cater to their unfulfilled financial needs. So just as an example, this capability is being used by us to drive our persistency up and to reduce our policy surrenders in our life insurance business. We're also using technology in terms of our HR practices, so extending a similar capability to our own employees. We're now leveraging machine learning-based technology in our sales offer hiring. We have a large sales force and various types of data over time, and we're using this to be able to build models to map out sample success profiles, hire people accordingly, using video-enabled capability assessment modules, and also predict talent attrition ahead of time so that we can take suitable preventive measures. And last, in terms of improving the operating model, I want to just call out a couple of things here. In our personal loan business, for instance, we're using advanced analytics for risk-based pricing, early fraud detection, and for payment behavior prediction. And we've also done a whole host of work around automation of key processes. So through robotic process automation, we're getting actually a big enabler to our business. We've taken a very structured approach to automation where we evaluate all our key processes on certain parameters to assign an automation index. Basis the number of sources of data and how lengthy or complex the process is, we've set guidelines to decide how to go about automating each process. We built close to 100 robots in our businesses, and we expect to double this over the course of the next year. Moving on to slide 7, I want to share with you an initiative we recently ran with a startup ecosystem that operates both in India and abroad. BizLabs, Aditya Birla BizLabs, is basically a platform to leverage this innovation ecosystem so that we could address some key focus areas through collaborating with advanced fintech capabilities. So what we did was to reach out to startups both in India and abroad and ask them to help us address some of the key focus areas that we have through businesses that they already have in place. And we had a 3-month fast-track program. We saw about 570 startups responding to us to help us work on these focus areas. And we've now identified some of these startups, and we're going to work with them in the 5 areas that I'm calling out below, which is in terms of data and analytics, in terms of targeting new customer segments, in terms of building cross-sell capability, in terms of boosting frontline productivity and in terms of digitizing our processes. The collaboration with these startups through these pilots, we think, will help us again continue to better experience, improve revenue, and improve our operating model. Let me now move on to the numbers and start with the results for Q2 and the half year, and move on to slide 8. So if you look at each of our businesses, I'll start with our life insurance business. So for the first half of the year, our APE grew by 20%, which was significantly ahead of the industry, which grew at about 11%. So we obviously gained market share. Our life insurance net VNB margin improved by 250 basis points in the first half of the year, and our embedded value grew by 14.4% year on year. Our health insurance business continued to have strong growth, and our Q2 GWP grew by 70% year on year, with the retail mix standing at 69%. Our asset management business had a big boost from the tax cuts, and the Q2 AMC PAT increased by 40% year on year, with a PBT to average AUM at 27 basis points, which is about 3 basis points higher than it was last year same time. Our NBFC Q2 NIM expanded by 64 basis points year on year, and our Q2 NII grew by 20% year on year. Our NBFC H1 PAT grew by 24% year on year if we adjust for the deferred tax adjustment that we've had to make. That adjustment to our ROE and ROA also leads to a 15% ROE and a 2.2% ROA on an annualized basis. Our housing finance business also had a deferred tax asset. Adjusting for that, our Q2 PAT grew by 2.5 times year on year. The ROE and ROA in this business, again adjusted for that deferred tax asset, would be about 10.2% and 1% respectively. And lastly, we launched an ARC platform as a joint venture with Varde. The ARC platform that we've launched has turned profitable in the first year of operation. Let me now share some of the aggregate numbers through slide 9 and 10. So slide 9 will give you the quarterly numbers. As you can see from the left-hand side of the slide, our revenue has grown by about 8% Q2 FY20 over Q2 FY19, and our PAT has grown by 37% Q2 FY20 over Q2 FY19. I think what I'd like to call out on this slide is that our NBFC PAT has actually grown by about 6% Q2 19 to Q2 20. Even with our largest business growing at 6%, the platform has still delivered a PAT growth of 37%. And that really is this diversified business opportunity that I keep calling out on every investor call. Moving on to slide 10, which will give you the numbers for the half year. You see our revenue for the half year is up by 12% and PAT is up by 32%. Adjusting for the deferred tax asset, actually our half year PAT would have grown by 47% had we not taken the adjustment to the deferred tax assets that we have in our NBFC and our housing finance book. So excluding that, our profit growth would have been 47%. Taking that into account, our reported numbers show 32% half-year growth in profit after tax. And if you look at the right-hand side of the slide, I think what is interesting about the slide and pleasing to us at Aditya Birla Capital is the fact that you can see profit growth and consistency of profit growth across the entire spectrum of businesses that we run. So you see our NBFC profitability, asset management, life insurance, housing, general insurance broking, and securities broking for profitability have all grown smartly. So our total profitable businesses growth in terms of PBT was 21%, and our aggregate PBT grew by 26%, against which our PAT has grown by 32%. Let me now jump into the individual businesses, and I want to start with our NBFC and start with slide 12. What we've done on slide 12 is actually give you a bit of a perspective about how the NBFC has moved over the last 5 years. A lot has happened in these 5 years, and more so over the last year and a bit. And what we're doing is actually calling out the changes that have happened in this five-year period, and then you can look at the metrics before you to see how resilient this business has been over this five-year period. So over this five-year period, we've seen an increase in defaults across multiple sectors. We've seen an NBFC crisis. We've seen a fairly significant slowdown in the economy. We've seen credit provisioning norms changing from 180 days to 90 days between FY14 and FY18. And NBFCs have moved from IGAAP to ECL, which has a very different methodology for provisioning compared to what IGAAP used to have. Through that entire change, if you look at our metrics, as I said, you'll see how resilient this business has been and how the business has grown on every metric between FY14 and FY20. As I called out in the earlier slide, our three-year aspiration here is to continue to grow our retail loan book by expanding, and that should lead to an expansion of our margins. We will have to open additional branches so that we can continue to drive the retail growth strategy that we're talking about. But we're equally going to leverage tech platforms to make sure that we can manage our cost effectively and keep our costs under control and make the experience better for both our distributors and our customers. As I said earlier, the target ROE we have for this business is between 17% and 18% in a 3-year time frame. Moving on to the quarter and the results for the NBFC on slide 13, you'll see our SME and retail loan book grew by about 14% year-on-year. I'm calling this out specifically because we've always said that this is a focus area for us in terms of growth, and that has grown even though the overall book has stayed flat. Our SME and retail loan book has actually grown by about 14% year-on-year. As a result of that, our net interest income has grown by about 20% year-on-year for Q2, and we've expanded our margins. Q2 PAT, adjusting for the deferred tax asset that we hold, would have been 273 crores, growth of 32% year-on-year. The reported PAT, though, is 218 crores, which is a growth of 6% year-on-year. Adjusting for the deferred tax asset again, which is a one-time impact, our ROE would be about 15% on an annualized basis, and ROA would be about 2.2% on an annualized basis. I want to spend some time talking about our individual segments and give you a bit more color on our portfolio on slide 14 and 15. So slide 14 will call out the way we traditionally do the three segments that we cover under the SME, retail, and HNI, and the various products that we have under these offerings to these customer groups. I'm not going to spend time on the top of the slide. Let me just talk about some of the things that we've done. Because as I said earlier in the opening, you'll see that our SME average ticket size is down about 24% year-on-year to 5 crores. We continue to focus on secured term loans and WCDL segments, which has grown about 30% year-on-year. This segment is backed by cash flows and has adequate security cover. Our LAP average ticket size has come down by 27% year-on-year. It's about 2.3 crores now. Our LAP LTV is 50%, so it gives us an adequate cushion. We've been fairly selective in LRD because rates and margins have been all over the place there, and that has degrown by about 6% year-on-year. In retail, our average ticket size is 6 lakhs. We continue to grow our retail book, continue to price in credit risk adequately, and we've identified new segments for growth in travel, healthcare, and education. Our loan against share portfolio is actually reduced by about 27% year-on-year. We have no Stage 3 exposure in our last book, and about 80% of our last exposure is in securities of companies having market cap over 10,000 crores. So as you can imagine, fairly liquid securities. Let me move on to slide 15, which talks about our large and mid-corporate loan book. And I want to talk about the four tiles on the right-hand side of the slide. I want to first start with the overall portfolio. So as you see from the table on the left, our structured finance book has actually reduced over the period. It was about 17% of our book in Q2 19, it's down to 11% of a slightly smaller book in FY 20. That entire rundown of about 40% has happened over the course of the year because we just wanted to reduce the risk in the portfolio and reduce concentration. Our top 20 customers in our large and mid-corporate book contribute about 10% of our overall loan book. Let me repeat that. Our top 20 customers in our large and mid-corporate contribute about 10% of our overall loan book. We have no stage 3 exposure in our top 20 exposures. And often we get asked about our exposure to the Aditya Birla Group companies. I want to clarify that we have less than 1% of our overall loan book to any company in the Aditya Birla Group. If I move to the right-hand side tile and show you how the large and mid-corp concentration works, you see across different ticket size ranges what our customer, the number of customers we have and the percentage of the total book. You'll notice that we have about 16 customers more than 200 crores. And given we have top 20 customers at 10%, you can verify for yourself that therefore the balance are obviously less than 200 crores in terms of size. Project loans is about 15% of our overall loan book. Again here, because they're cash flow based lending, we've had very good experience. We have no stage 3 exposure, and the bulk of our exposure is to have recourse to cash flows from operational projects. Construction finance, I must start by saying this is only about 6% of our overall loan book, so it is quite a small part of our overall book. Here again, we have no stage 3 exposure. We have no luxury residential project exposure, and over 90% of our exposure is actually to Mumbai, Pune, Bangalore, Chennai, Noida. We have no other NCR exposure in our construction finance book. 30% of our outstanding as of 30th September 2018 was actually repaid out of sales velocity, sales proceeds in the last 1 year. indicative of the sales velocity of the projects that we have backed. And that's also borne out by the fact that the actual average loan tenor for us in our construction finance book is about 2.5 years. So this is a business that is backing projects that are selling and therefore looks at velocity of sales, and that is captured by the data that I have shared with you. So where we do have stress in our corporate and large corporate book, we are adequately secured and have adequately provided for these in our accounts. Moving on to slide 16, really a slide that we've shown before. We continue to maintain asset quality. I mentioned before, ex-ILFS, our stage 3 assets are 1.39%. The other thing is that if you look at 1.39% at the company level, if you look at the individual segments that we've shared with you earlier, other than retail, which is slightly higher than our company average of 1.39, and where risk is adequately priced in, the other segments actually have gross stage 3 exposure at lower than that company average number. Moving on to slide 17, which talks about our borrowing costs and our NIM. I think you see quarter on quarter, actually, our borrowing cost has come down by about 2 basis points. Though, of course, over the period shown on this chart, the cost of borrowing has increased. And along with the cost of borrowing, you'll notice that our NIMs have increased as well. And this is a mix of, this is a result of a few things. The increasing product mix towards retail and SME, and our ability to pass on borrowing cost increases, as well as, of course, prudent treasury management. Moving on to the ALM in our lending business on slide 18, I think if you look at the left-hand side of the chart, you'll see that we've broken up our buckets into smaller buckets now, so you can look at liquidity in the short-term buckets, and we are pretty much comfortable in terms of every bucket in the ALM that we've shown over here. This has been derived by raising long-term borrowing of about 6,000 crores in the first half of the year, including ECBs. We think, adequate liquidity to meet our growth requirements because we have undrawn CC lines of about 3,000 crores, plus we have additional ECB sanctions that are lined up. Our capital adequacy continues to remain comfortable. It's in fact gone up slightly from last year and stands at about 19%. On slide 19, I just followed a couple of things on this slide since I've already spoken about a number of these items before. But basically, NII for the half year up by 25%. Q1Q up by 20%, and profit after tax for the half year up by 12%, and for the quarter up by 6%. Let me now move on to our housing finance business and take you to slide 21. In our housing finance business, our lending book at 12,079 crores has grown by about 22% year on year. Of this, 94% of our book is retail, between home loans and LAP. Our affordable book stands at about just under 2,000 crores. We've seen an improvement in our cost-income ratio, which has been driven by both scale and operating efficiency. We continue to maintain the quality of our asset book, with gross stage 3 assets at 0.85% of the book. Our Q2 PAT, as I said, adjusted for deferred tax assets, grew by 2.5% year-on-year to 33 crores. Our reported PAT is 28 crores, which, by the way, is almost doubled year-on-year. As a result of this improvement in PAT, you'll see a significant improvement in ROE and ROA, captured on the right-hand side of the slide over here. On slide 22, I want to share with you our segment mix. And as I said, we have 94% of our book, which is retail. So only 6% of our book as of Q2 FY20 is construction finance. The rest is pretty much retail LAP and pretty much retail home loans. Our average ticket size for our affordable home loans is about 12 lakhs. Last quarter, we had about 21% of this affordable home loan portfolio, which was backed by the mortgage guarantee scheme. This time that number is up to 27%. And 48% of our affordable housing loan is eligible for the PMAY subsidy. Our average ticket size in LAP is about 51 lakhs. Again, that's down from 63 lakhs last year. And again, similar to our NBFC, the loan-to-value here is about 47% in our retail LAP book. Construction finance in a housing finance company, again, we have no stage 3 exposure. Our average ticket size on exposure is about 14 crores, but in terms of outstanding, is about 9 crores. So it's really a very diversified portfolio. Even a small amount of 6% of the total book is fairly diversified, with the average ticket size of 9 crores. 85% of our exposure is to Bangalore, Mumbai, Pune, Surat, etc. So again, we have no NCR exposure other than Noida in our book. And as it was in the case of ABFL, we have very good sales velocity in this business as well. Slide 23, I'm not going to spend too much time on, other than just saying We have a balanced distribution strategy by geography, and we continue to grow in the non-metro piece of our portfolio. The non-metro loan book now is at 45% compared to 42% last year. Slide 24 is similar story to our NBFC. Again, we've been able to optimize our borrowing costs and been able to manage margins through the ability to pass on borrowing cost increases to our borrowers. So the story is pretty similar. As is the story on slide 25 with our ALM, you can see again that our ALM is comfortable. We've raised their long-term borrowing of over 2,000 crores in our housing finance company. We're again looking to raise ECB in this business, and we think we've got adequate liquidity to meet our growth requirements. And just as with the NBFC, we have a comfortable capital adequacy in this book as well. Moving on to slide 26, just want to call out a couple of numbers on this slide. lending book up by about 22%. And for the half year, profit after tax up 2.5 times, and for the quarter up by 2.1 times. So strong growth in profitability driven by, as I said, efficiency and scale economics coming through as the business is growing. I'll now talk about our asset management company and move to slide 28. In our asset management business, we have maintained our overall market share, roughly 10.5%. Our fixed income market share has gone up, and we've lost a little bit of market share in equity. Our domestic equity AUM mix remains steady at about 35% of our total mix. I've already mentioned earlier, our Q2 profit after tax grew strongly, 40% year-on-year to 148 crores. And we maintained our margins on a PBT basis as PBT to AUM, even post-regulatory changes. So if you look at the slide at the bottom, between FY18, FY19, and FY20, you've seen a continuous improvement in terms of the BIPs to AUM from 22 BIPs to 24 to 27 BIPs. Slide 29, we'll talk about our retail expansion that we've been talking about every time as a theme in our asset management company. I'll just call out a couple of numbers on this slide. If you look at the investor folios, the five-year CAGR for investor folios for us as Aditya Birla Sun Life Asset Management is about 29%, and for the industry it's been 15%. So we've actually grown our investor folio base significantly faster than the industry. And in terms of the monthly SIP book, the three-year CAGR for a monthly SIP book for us has been about 33%, and for the industry it's about 29%. So again, we've grown faster than the industry in terms of building up our monthly SIP book, as well as in terms of building up investor folios, both a conscious part of our strategy. If you move on to slide 30, I think this shows you a couple of things. It shows you our sourcing mix. It also shows you some of the initiatives that we've taken in terms of our digital platform. The point really is that given we're not bank-owned, we are really much more reliant on building our distribution through IFAs. Of course, we do distribute through banks and national distributors as well, but IFAs tend to have a larger share in equity sourcing, as you'll see from the chart that we've shared here. And digital becomes a very important part of our offering as well. And we've done a number of things in digital that I've captured on this slide, on slide 30. We have obviously a new investor portal. We've launched micro-ticket sized SIP products on a digital platform. We have launched a next best offer program on our website, which allows us to upsell, and the initial impact has been very good. And we've also made it very easy for people to onboard through video KYC. That has made the journey even more easy for new customers coming on board on our website. From a distribution perspective, we have launched a distributor portal with a very simplified distributor experience, and we've tied up with several new age digital ecosystem partners through our API gateway. This allows us again to reach a large number of customers very easily through a digital ecosystem. And lastly, all of this has resulted in our digital transactions as a percentage of our total transactions almost be up to 75%. Last year this number was 67%. That number is up to 75%. So about 75% of our total transactions are now digital. Slide 31 will give you the financials of our asset management company. And I'll just call out the profit after tax really, because for the quarter, profit after tax is up by about 40%. And for the half year, profit after tax is up 28%. Let me now move on to our life insurance business, a business that's had a very good run. So Starting with our growth in our FYP, our individual FYP has grown by about 20% year on year. This is significantly higher than industry growth, which, as you can see from the numbers below, industry has grown by about 11%, so we've gained market share. So our market share has increased to 3.8%, and we continue to be ranked number 7 in terms of individual business. For the first half of the year, our net VNB improved by about 250 basis points year on year, and our half-year net VNB margin stood at about 0.2%. For the half-year, our embedded value crossed 5,000 crores to 5,031 crores, and that's a growth of about 14.4% over the same period last year. We talked about last time our focus on the group business, which is really much more about being about value than about volume. We've grown our risk business by about 16% year-on-year in our group business, and as you know, that is a value-accretive segment to operate in. Slide 34, we'll talk about our product mix and our margins. You'll see that we have a fairly diversified portfolio on the left-hand side between protection, non-par, par, and ULIP. We want to share with you that about 70% of the maturity benefits of our guaranteed products are protected. So, you know, we are conscious that we don't want to run the risk of our guaranteed products and make sure that we are protected and hedged fully in terms of being able to protect the guarantees that we're providing. On the right-hand side, you see our gross VNB has grown by about 19% year-on-year. Margins have remained more or less the same at about 36.3%. Our half-year net VNB margin, 0.2%, is significantly ahead than last year. At the same time last year, it was minus 2.3%. For Q2, our net VNB was at 5.7%, again, significantly ahead of last year, which was at 2.5%. There are a few things that have driven this growth in net VNB, partly driven by higher volume and productivity, and partly driven by a better channel mix and a better product mix. Slide 35 will talk to you about our distribution and sourcing strategy. We've told you earlier that we have, you know, several bank partners, including HDFC Bank, DCB, and KVB. Through this bank network, we are present across over 2,700 cities. We have 9,500 bank branches to who we can access, and we have about just under 400 branches of our own. So we have a fairly significant distribution presence across India. We've tied up recently with Indian Bank, our first PSU bank partner, and that gives us access straight away to about 2,900 branches. Once the merger that is underway happens with Indian Bank, this branch network should probably double from where it is now. So we have access really to a fairly large branch network through the Indian Bank partnership. Our proprietary channel we've used in this period as our partnership business has grown. We've used the proprietary channel actually to drive margin improvement and value creation. So you'll see our protection mix in our proprietary business is up to 11%. That's a fairly significant amount. And ULIP is down to 26%. So this is a very value-creating mix. And that has helped us actually create margin improvement at the company level through driving it through our proprietary mix. Slide 36 will talk about the quality of our business, and I want to start with persistency, which has been a focus area for us at DSLI. We've seen continuous improvement in persistency across periods, and that is captured on the right-hand side of the slide. We've now touched 80% persistency for our 13-month persistency, and we think once the HDFC Bank experience starts coming into our book in a bigger way, this number should lead to further improvement. We've had a fairly strong focus on customer retention. Our individual renewal premium has grown by about 19% year-on-year, and we see a continuous improvement in surrender ratios. We've also focused on reducing customer complaints, and that's down by about 50% over the last 2 years. Moving on to slide 37, which has the financials for our life insurance business, you'll see our individual first-year premium for the half-year up by about 19%. Renewal premium also up by about 19%, so very strong growth on both counts. And profit before tax has grown fairly significantly on the back of a growth in the in-force itself. Let me now move on to our health insurance business and talk about slide 39. As I said earlier, our health insurance business has grown fairly strongly. Gross premium grew by 78% year-on-year, with retail growing at 83%, so it's obviously increased its share in our overall mix. We've now covered 5 million lives in this business, which is a fairly young business. We're already in the position where we're covering 5 million lives. About half of this is covered through micro products that we're working through different partners across India. that gives us the ability to reach the players that we otherwise wouldn't be able to reach ourselves. Retail claim ratios are obviously a very important part of value creation in this business. Our retail claim ratio is down from 48% last year to 44% this year. And our combined ratio at 155% is significantly lower than the prior year number of 180%. As I said earlier as well, we've said that we're looking to break even in this business by FY21-22, and our trajectory is very much as per plan. Slide 40 will show you our distribution and distribution capacity. This business has actually got 10 bank tie-ups compared to the 8 that I spoke about in our life business. We have both HDFC Bank and Axis Bank as partners in this business. As a result, we have access to about 10,000 bank branches through our Banca channel. We just started this journey. It's a very young company, so we think there's significant capacity available in terms of capturing the upside from the channels that we've actually tied up with. In addition to that, we're focusing on new age digital partners, and that should give us added distribution capability. We're also looking at diversifying in different ways, and all of this adds value to the business. Because as we said before, non-metros have higher margin than metros. That's now about 39% of our mix versus 34% last year. Fixed benefit has higher margins than indemnity. That's 18% versus 16%. And Banca is up to 62% of our retail GWP. We've also looked at launching new products in the first half of this year, which allows us at one level to diversify our product portfolio, but it also allows us to cater to new customer segments that we think the rest of the industry may not be catering to completely at this point in time. So we've launched a senior citizen product and we've launched a group product, both of which we think will add further momentum to the business that we're talking about. Slide 41 will talk about our proposition, really. Because as I've often said, the proposition of our health insurance business is not just to pay out health insurance claims, but is actually to encourage you to become more healthy and to attract healthy lives into our platform. And I think as a result of that, you see the proposition and the way we run the proposition. The proof of concept, actually very early stages, but of course we're already seeing the proof of concept on the right-hand side of slide 41. So what we're seeing is people who are active and engaged with us, people who are willing to do the health assessments and follow the health routine that we're suggesting, have 15% higher persistency than those who don't. And their claim ratio is 5% lower than people who are not active and not engaged. So it's a fairly significant move, even though they're early days. We can see actually that the proposition is actually resulting in the outcome that we expected when we started out this business. If I look at slide 42, you will see that our retail premium has grown by about 1.7 times and our combined ratio for the half year down to 155% compared to 180% last year. So very much a story of significant scale and deriving scale benefits through a reduction in our combined ratio. Let me now talk about slide 44, the last slide I really want to talk about before I open it up to questions. Slide 44 talks about our other businesses, and as I said at the opening, what we saw last year, for the half year last year, we were losing about 2 crores across our other businesses. That's now turned to a profit of 39 crores, so it's a fairly big swing. Our general insurance broking business grew its profit before tax by about 35% for the second quarter. And our securities broking business grew their profit in Q2 by 17%. And as I said at the opening, we launched the ARC platform with Varde, and that platform has turned profitable within the first year of operation. So thank you very much for your attention. I'd like to stop here and welcome any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, in terms of the overall stress, so GNPLs have broadly, maybe we have seen marginal increase, but if you can give some flavor in terms of how we are looking at the overall stress pool and how the credit profile of the our corporate book has moved, be it in terms of say BBB and below. Have we seen any deterioration during the quarter because of the downgrades which have been there?
So I think, as you know, there's stress across different sectors in the economy. So I don't know how to comment on the second question that you have. But in terms of the credit profile of our book, as we shared, our gross stage 3 has moved to 1.39% ex-ILFS. We think ex-ILFS is the right way to look at it. We think there might be a further slippage of about 15 basis points in the next quarter in this number.
Yeah, but if we look at it from, say, 9 to 12 months perspective, any watch list which you want to draw because of maybe few of the exposures or say few of the well-known names which are there, okay, which are under stress and we would have exposure. So maybe not from just a quarterly perspective, but if we want to get maybe how the book would look over next 6 to 12 odd months.
I think it's very difficult to call 6 to 12 months, Kunal. I think anybody who can tell you that, I would like to meet them as well, because it's really difficult to call in this environment what's going to happen in 6 to 12 months. We've given you a lot of disclosure on our book as it is, so you can see
yeah.
In our top 20, there's no stage 3. Construction finance has no stage 3. Project loans has no stage 3. And I've told you that we should look at probably another 15 to 20 basis point slippage in our gross stage 3 assets. I think that's a fairly significant amount of information in terms of the quality of the
sure.
book.
Sure. And when we talk about this exposure of say less than 1% to Aditya Birla Group, so this includes the entire group, including the telecom.
Yes.
And this includes yes. the non-fund based investments through any other entities as well. So
everything.
If you have to
everything.
Okay. So combined, everything put together is less than 1%.
Yes.
Okay. And just one more data point.
No, I think there are lots of other questions if we can come back to you later.
Sure.
We have many other people waiting for questions.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Manoj Bahety from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So first of all, thanks for such an elaborate presentation and detailed deck. So my question is mainly if I see in today's scenario, there are only few NBFCs which have got such a strong liability franchisee, and also if I look at asset quality, it is fairly decent. So I just wanted to understand in such a scenario where competition is weakening, we have got a strong liability franchisee, a strong history of good credit underwriting. But if I see overall loan book growth across, I think in Q2, it was fairly muted. So what led us to put a brake to the growth engine when we have all the ingredients in place to accelerate the growth engine?
So if you look at our chosen segments, which we have been calling out, retail has been growing quite well. It's been growing at 32%. SME has been growing, if you look at, though this quarter 5%, but we see opportunity in the SME. Yes, there are certain sectors within the SME where we are seeing stress and we are avoiding those. But clearly, we see the opportunity of growth in retail and SME. The reason why you see a muted growth in quarter two is because strategically we have reduced our corporate exposures primarily to reduce the concentration risk.
But sir, in our corporate exposure, we didn't have any stress. I mean, our overall experience has been good. So, I mean, what made us or what led us to,
environment, the economic slowdown, the environment. So that's the reason we have been cautious in our approach.
Mm-hmm.
And as the environment improves, we will look at this very opportunistically in terms of growing the corporate book as well. But as we have been calling out, retail and SME, and also Ajay mentioned in his presentation that we are looking at expanding to tier 3 to 5 centers. We want to add another 100 locations. So that's a clear focus to capture the retail and MSME opportunity which the country provides.
Right, right. And my second question is on the insurance side. Like if I see your non-PAR portion, and out of which around 70 to 76% you mentioned that it is hedged, in a falling rate scenario, are you seeing a risk on guaranteed products which you have offered, basically on the unhedged portion of the non-PAR guaranteed products?
Yeah, so that is a risk we have to protect, because the basic risk is a falling interest rate regime. And that's why I said we've already hedged a large part of our book, and we will continue to look to other ways to hedge the rest of the book as well.
Okay, but as of now, that risk remains, right? Because that kind of tenure hedging instrument may not be available, right?
No, that's available today. That's how we've hedged. 70% of our book has been hedged with that way. Okay. It's a mix of both derivative-based hedging as well as actual asset-based hedging. So we have the tools to be able to hedge it, and we will take action required to hedge our portfolio.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions. I will come back
and thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. What is the ticket size in home loans?
So our affordable home loans ticket size is about 12 lakhs.
That's right.
And about 35 lakhs in our prime loan segment.
Sure. Any guidance that you could give on the business mix for the year? Sorry, this is on the life business. Any guidance that you could give on the business mix for the second half or for the entire year? I mean, would non-PAR remain such a large proportion?
We are actually focusing on making sure we can get the protection part of our business up in the second half of the year. And if you look at in the proprietary business of ours, we're already at about 11-12%. Banca, which has a reasonable share of our business at about 50, is where the focus is to get the protection side of the business up. Non-PAR, we'd like to keep at the similar levels, slightly lower, and see whether we can increase the size of our protection business in the second half.
And if I may ask, what is the effective guarantee that you're offering to the to your customers in non-PAR segment?
So it will vary, Nischint, from customer to customer and age to age, and depending on the ticket size. So it varies between 4.5% to 5.2% or 5.3%.
And finally, one big picture view in terms of, where do you see, this is again on the NBFC, on the NBFC side, one big picture view in terms of, where do you see the share of, large and big corporates settle down over the next 2-3 years?
So again, difficult to predict that far out, because we don't know what will happen to the cycle. But I think short term, we clearly don't see much growth in that book. So it will probably stay flat to slightly down, given where we are today.
But are you having incremental disbursements in the project loan or structured finance segments or construction finance segments?
Yeah, I mean, where we see opportunity, that's why we're looking at it opportunistically. Where we see opportunity, risk reward makes sense, we will continue to look at that. But on an aggregate basis, as I said, I don't think this book will grow very much in the course of the rest of this year.
No, I'm saying that's maybe from the next 2-3 years point of view, that's something which I think you'll figure out down the line, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I can take a call that far out.
Sure. And for project loans and construction finance, would you have been doing disbursements over the last 6 months or so? Or are you kind of just running down the book?
Project loans, we've had some disbursements, because we do see opportunity there, and the same in construction finance. So I think where we see the risk reward working for us, we are continuing to do disbursements.
Sure. Great. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Congrats on the quarter. I just have a couple of questions. Firstly, have we done some write-offs in the NBFC business this quarter?
Yes, we have.
Could you please quantify it and how that compares with the prior quarter?
It's about 100 crore write-off for the quarter, I think.
Okay, in 2Q. And versus 1Q?
was about 70 or 80, I think, in one Q.
Okay, got it. And one other bookkeeping question, what is our disbursement number this quarter?
Disbursement, we will have a disbursement of 5,000 crores and a repayment of closer to 7,000 crores.
Okay, okay. So our disbursements have really picked up because I believe last quarter it was around 3,000.
Well, I think it was roughly the same number, Q1 as well.
Okay. Okay, and this last...
I don't know the exact number, but roughly the same. But the drawdown, as I said earlier, we've had some amount of intentional drawdown, especially in some segments we want to draw down.
Understood, understood. And could you just remind us what exactly is our business in digital and unsecured?
So this is business loans and personal loans.
So catering to the consumer segment and the MSME segment.
Okay, okay. But unsecured to MSME.
Yes.
Got it, got it. Okay. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Prakash from Nippon Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. A couple of them. Just one is, are there any plans to potentially demerge the AMC from the overall company? And secondly, in terms of the cost of capital, is what do you see potentially as a risk in terms of your low cost of capital in case of a potential infusion of capital from Grasim into Vodafone, or in case they need to pay out some debt there?
Two hypothetical questions. I think the first one, we have no plans to demerge the asset management company. Second one, honestly, I can't answer that question for you.
Okay, then just lastly, in the case of your NPA profiles, I noticed that you maintain a very low gross NPA profile versus a lot of competitors who've been going through a rough patch. Just trying to understand what is it that differentiates you and how are you able to maintain such a sort of good asset quality versus everyone else or most players out there?
Thank you. We take that as a compliment. I think it's a function of customer selection and underwriting process. Which works across the entire platform that we have.
And emphasis on cash flow.
And over 80% of our business is secured, and the security we believe has some value to the borrower. That also helps.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Patel from Adinath. Please go ahead.
Hello, congratulations for the quarter.
Mr. Patel, you can go ahead with your question, please.
Yeah. I have two questions, sir. The status with SL Group with respect to our exposure on AMC front as well as on lending book side.
Yeah, there's one thing. So, Bala will give you a sense of that.
Yeah. On the AMC front, we have the exposure to the SL Group in three of our funds, which largely focus on credit-related instruments in the thing. And as you know, as available in the public domain, so they are in the process of finding a resolution on the stake sale which they have gone on public. And we are just awaiting for that resolution to come, then our exposure to the credit funds will be fully out. We also have exposure to some of their road assets. There we are in the process of engaging with the potential buyers, and hopefully once we reach closer to that, we'll find an exit on those funds.
Okay. But sir, when the entire issue was pop up except 1 year before, and at that time we, our CIO guidance that by September 19, we will pass through this phase. So, is there any delay or we are going to receive it by end of this year? I mean, out from this entire event.
September 20, not September 19.
Okay.
So September 19, yeah. So we said September 19, but we are looking at a resolution in not too distant future.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants to ask a question. You may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Manoj Bahety from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Taking forward the previous question, can you quantify the SL Group exposure, including their road assets, in our balance sheet as well as in AMC?
We just answered that question through Bala, right?
Sir, the amount, I think I didn't, what was the amount? Especially, in fact, I'm more interested in knowing the exposure if it is there in our balance sheet, NBFC balance sheet.
So NBFC balance sheet, we're not talking about any specific exposure. As I said in the beginning, we've already given you adequate color on the quality of the book.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to specifically talk about any specific exposure.
Okay. Okay. Right, sir. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. Scheme exposure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for joining us for this conference call. Wish you all a very good evening and a happy weekend ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, for any further queries, you may contact Mr. Pramod Bora, Investor Relations team. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.